I love Communion Sundays. Amen. Amen. Hope that you have got your Connect cards filled out. We pick those up after the service if you want to just drop them in the basket if you didn't do that. One of the things I've noticed, church, on a serious note, I've noticed like those prayer requests are getting like very small. Like we get the prayer things and there's only a few things on it. And I got to think that there's more needs than just that. And so fill those out, please, and let us be praying for you. We long to do that as a church, and we want to be praying and be helping you in the things that you're going through. Hey, and if you missed church or you missed it, just shoot me an email, pastor@harvestbiblechapelcambridge.com. And don't do like me and misspell chapel all the time. Okay, Galatians 6 is where we're at. Last time, this is the last service here. Are we there yet? Galatians 6? Galatians 6, and we're looking at verse 7. Do you remember the first words? Do not what? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Right? The scripture goes on to say, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. We kind of went over that. You want to know, hey, Pastor Nate, what's flesh? Go back to chapter 5. Look at that thing, starting with verse 16 to the end of the chapter. It's not a good thing. That word corruption there is very bad. It means death, and it means eternal death. And the one who reaps or sows to the Spirit, notice Spirit's capitalized there, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that's going to be important this week. It's one of our major verses. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. And so we've been talking about this principle here in Galatians of sowing and reaping. And you're probably wondering, what are you doing there, Nate? I just got some illustrations we'll get to here in a minute. And it's been kind of heavy. I got to admit, I was thinking this through. There's been a lot of heaviness that have kind of maybe thrown out at you and made you think through. And I think that's okay. I think the power of the Holy Spirit will work in those moments. But I thought a little levity was in order. I was reading this week about an Amish man who called the vet. And had the vet stop by his house because his mule was sick. It was getting near planting time, and he needed his mule to help plant. Well, the vet examined the mule and gave the farmer a giant bottle of pills and said, give one to him 3 times a day, and in a week he'll be fine. Now, the farmer was a bit perplexed because these pills were gigantic. And he thought, there's no way that my mule is going to take this pill. And so the vet left, and he got to thinking, how can I get my mule to take this pill? How can I get my mule to take this pill? And he looked around, and he found a pipe. And he came up with this great plan, and he said, I'm going to put the pipe in the mule's mouth, and I'm going to put the pill in the pipe, and then I'm going to blow. And before the mule knows what happens, he will have swallowed the pill. And so he tried it. A couple hours later, he went to the vet's. He walked in. The vet looked at him. He's like, what is the matter? And he just looked at him and he said, the mule blew first. Sometimes we plant and we head the wrong direction, right? Just be mindful that this is a heavy subject of sowing and reaping. We've seen the text here. And John Lawrence was a pastor, was a teacher at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he wrote a book called Life's Choices. And in it, he calls this the laws of the harvest. And this is one of the books that I read while I was on vacation. I was deeply, deeply moved by it. I've read it a couple of times. You ever have those books that you kind of go back to and you read and you find your notes and you're like, oh, that's really good. And this is how this has been for me, and I wanted to share it with you. So over the last couple weeks, I've been doing that. Discovering the consequences of sowing and reaping. It's been our template for our main points here as we've gone along. And what we've discovered so far, and I kind of have them in a little box there for you, what we've gone over, the first three. We harvest only what has been planted. We harvest only what has been planted. So maybe you're thinking, there's nothing really going on in my marriage. What have you planted? What have you sown into your marriage? My kids are this, my kids are that. I don't understand, Pastor. What have you put into this? So we harvest only what has been planted, and we're all planting something. Because see, that's the kind of the key. We're all planting something in our daily walk, at work, with our coworkers, with our family. Are we planting them to the Lord? I thought about that principle this morning. It was 6:10, and I came to the four-way stop in Lore City. Clearly first. I mean, who's out at 6:10 in Lore City at the four-way stop but a lady in a truck who was still rolling to the sign? Not that I'm bitter. I'm not bitter. And I went, and man, the look I got. I thought about planting some things right then. I thought. And we're just moving down the road, and she finally decides to pass me. And I'm thinking, oh, really? This is it. We're on a straightaway. Let's see what this Buick can do. But then I got to thinking, sowing and reaping. Just let her go. We sow, like, all the time. Truthfully, I was hoping that she was sowing a bad seed and there would be a trooper up ahead. But that was probably wrong, too. Secondly, we saw this. We harvest the same in kind as we plant. So, you know, I've told you many times about my apple tree. This isn't one of the apples from the apple tree because I never got one. But I planted an apple tree, and theoretically I was supposed to get apples from it. Right? You don't get turnips from an apple tree. You harvest in kind. But there's a great principle there, right? You want a good marriage. What are you planting? You want to have a great relationship with your kids. What are you putting into that? Because you're going to harvest the same in kind as what you've planted. If your children only know you as the daddy who yells, don't look at your father when I say that. Be mindful of that. We don't plant tomatoes and get corn. We don't plant worldliness Monday through Saturday, and then when we come to church, we pray for crop failure. Right? You want to know why your relationship isn't good with the Lord? You're getting in kind what you've planted. So what are you planting? We can't expect things to be awesome when we're planting discourse. We can't expect things to be at an all-time high with God when we never open His Word and rarely bow the head unless there is a meal before us. We harvest the same in kind. So look up here. Last time I'm going to talk about this one. But what are you planting with God? If God seems distant, it's not on God. Remember that old thing about the couple that was in the truck? And she looked at him and said, remember when we used to sit side by side and you'd put your arm around me? And he looked at her and said, I've never moved. And the same is true with God. And if you're distancing yourself, make your way back. Then number three, we looked at this. We harvest in a different season than we plant. I wrote down in my notes, yeast failure, Toledo. So I tried to make bread one time. It didn't work out, I didn't think. We're living Eastway Street in Toledo, and we had a nice backyard. We had a double fence area. We used to have a pool, but just between the old pool and the first fence, there was a pine tree that the neighbors had. And I decided, first time I really worked with yeast, and I thought, it's not working. My bread's not turning out. I'm a little disappointed. I don't want anybody to see this. I'm gonna bury it in the backyard. And I did. About a week later, when the yeast had warmed and activated, I had a giant yeast ball in the backyard. I'm like, what is that? I went over and I kind of kicked it, and it popped, and like the aroma of bread came through. So obviously the yeast just took a little time. And that's the point. Sometimes you think, oh, well, I did this, but I got away with it. No, we harvest in a different season. And maybe you're thinking, well, this week, Nate, this week, I went to Jamie and I told her I loved her on Monday. And she's still been cold as ice. What'd you do on Tuesday? Well, nothing. Well, maybe it's coming. We harvest in a different season. We don't have Jack's magic beans. Maybe you thought away with it, but your season's coming. Maybe you're planting, but you're not seeing any fruit yet. Persevere. You harvest in a different season. So that catches us up. Now moving forward, I want you to write this down. We harvest more than we plant. We harvest more than we plant. And I made a purpose in my heart this week. I want it to be a little bit more upbeat and encouraging. But that can be discouraging. Like you're planting something in your marriage, with your children, at work, with your boss, with the neighbor. And if it's discourse, remember that you receive more than what you plant. Because like the whole, any farmers here? Anybody? Okay, a few farmers here, like you understand, Jim was telling me about when he used to have to plant corn back in the day. The whole farming thing wouldn't work if it was a one-to-one ratio, right? Because remember, Jesus taught about the laws or the principle of sowing when he talked about throwing it on good ground, on rocky ground, on the road, and on the thorny. So you got a 1 in 4 chance sometimes. So you'd be losing money right there. If we're 1 to 1, I plant like one piece of corn, one seed. He said, well, I always planted 3. And I said, that's probably pretty smart. You're guaranteed to at least get one of them to grow. And he said, not so much. But that's what my dad told me to do. But if I planted one seed and my stalk grew and I got one corn on it, and I peeled it all back, and I got all that hair. That anybody love that hair? I hate that stuff. And as I peeled it back, there's one kernel. You're like, this isn't worth it. Delicious. Right? Farming wouldn't be, it would be a break more than a make. The thing about corn is you usually get about 88 more kernels of corn. You usually get 3 to 4 ears of corn on a stalk. So you harvest more than you plant. The principle in nature. I brought with me a few things here, and I hope it's not going to make too much of a mess, but I have an apple, right? Do you just get one apple on a tree? But even if I open up this apple here, on the inside, I count right now on just this half, 3 more seeds, which produces 3 more trees after you take the internal kernel out, right, Mom? And then you have bushels of apples. I have a tomato, not from my garden. Well, you know that story. We've talked about that already. You know tomatoes, right? You could see, like, the gooey, the You throw this in your compost bin, and one tomato produces a tomato plant that produces maybe 20 to 30 more tomatoes. We harvest more than we plant. I do have a cucumber. I'm not quite sure if, or no, this is a zucchini. This might be from my garden. But right inside there is like, I count about 30, 40 seeds right in there. I asked my wife to bring me a cucumber. She brought me cantaloupe. There's not a lot of seed here. It's a great illustration, though, because cantaloupe has a lot in it. She did bring a strawberry, right? When you think about a strawberry, one little thing has like a gazillion little seeds that get caught in your teeth or dentures, but they're delicious. We harvest more than we plant. Now, that's a positive thing. How can I spin it to be positive? Well, there's lots of ways. Think of the things that you plant in your children's life with daily devotion. I used to hate sitting on that bench. But as I look back now on what my parents went through to teach us the Word of God, and the legacy that his children have in being in churches and working in churches, I'd say they're reaping more than they sowed. I think about 28 years of marriage and sowing a lot into each other. And I think I've reaped more than I've sown. I think about relationships that you have to reap the positive, and all you get back what seems like is just weeds, and then one day it clicks and you're like, oh wow, that's pretty awesome, and you got like a friend for life. I think though it can be the other way around as well. The scripture is full of stories of people who've reaped negative things. Think of the Old Testament. Do you remember the story of Jacob when he wanted his father's birthright? And he deceived with his mother, deceived his father and his brother. And his mother sent him away as part of this grand scheme. She planted discourse and deception and never saw her son again. And Jacob went away to Laban thinking he got away with it. I got the birthright, everything's going to be fine. And Laban was worse of a thief than he was. And tricked and tricked and tricked until on the marriage day, think about this, like you couldn't see your bride until after the ceremony was done, and then she begins to take off her veil and you're like, that's not the person I was supposed to marry. And Laban said, well, you're going to have my first daughter. If you want my second daughter, you're going to have to work another 7 years. He got a little bit more than what he had sowed. Probably one of the worst stories in the life of David was his adultery with Bathsheba. And I've always been drawn to that story because there's a guy who comes into the story that I really like, a prophet. Anybody know his name? Yep, that's right. That's right. And he comes into the story and he tells David a little story about a guy who had a precious little lamb and it was beautiful and he loved it and he loved it. But there was another man who had plenty of sheep and had more power, and he came and he took the lamb and killed the man. And David was like, who is this man? He will pay fourfold for what he has done. You shouldn't have said that. And Nathan looked at him and said, you are. David's words, he said, you'll pay fourfold. You know, David had four sons die. He had the son that was with Bathsheba die. He had Adonijah, Absalom, and Amnon all pass away. But not just this. Listen to what Nathan said. You've sown this. And Nathan went on to say, you killed Uriah, therefore the sword will never depart from your house. You took his wife, therefore your wives will be taken before your eyes. That happened when Absalom came in and declared himself king, and David ran out, and all his concubines, Absalom confiscated. And then Nathan said, You did this in secret, therefore your wives will be defiled openly before all of Israel. And that happened with Absalom when he took the women up in front of the city and violated them. There is a consequence for what you sow. It can be a good consequence, but Scripture tells us also that there is some negativity there. There is some possibility of sheer destruction. But Nate, positive, you want to be positive? Right. What happens if I make some good choices? Well, one of the Scripture verses that I really enjoy is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I have it up on the screen. And I want you to be thinking about this as we think about this. You have an opportunity as we read this verse to be sowing into something here. The Lord is at hand, it says. Do not be anxious about anything. All right, so any anxious people in the room? Now, do not be anxious about anything, the Scripture says. But with what? What's it say? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Like in your anxious moments, you're like, I'm so thankful, Lord, for what I'm going through. So that's planting right there. See the planting in that? Don't be anxious. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. You're sowing seeds. And what shall you reap? Is it going to be more? I think it will. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. Anxious people. Those of you that admitted it and didn't admit it here, would you like the peace of God? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's great. Underline that. Circle that, because you're thinking, peace of God, I'll be at peace. But then when it happens, you'll be like, how did that happen? It surpassed everything that you thought about. We'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hearts and minds. We're talking about emotion and intellect. The God of peace gives more peace, while anxiety moves farther away as you plant into your relationship with God. And then he not only gives you peace, but then he guards your heart. Why does he have to do that? Because I've been anxious once. And then once I thought it was gone, it came back. And then I thought it was gone again, and then it came back. But the God of peace will guard your heart, your emotion, and your mind, your intellect. And that's reaping more. Amen? Amen? We harvest more than we plant. And then this, we harvest in proportion as we plant. Okay, so Nate, you're talking about this reaping and this sowing. I'm just not going to do any sowing. That's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sow. I'm going to become a monk. I'm going to move to Moldova and live in a cave. I'm not going to sow. I'm not going to do anything. Well, that's, you can't help it. You're sowing all the time. The problem is you're always sowing. So if you sow, do you sow sparingly or do you sow bountifully? This is a very positive thing. I think that what this is saying is through much hard work, there is much reward. Through much tilling and planting and weeding and watering, then the result becomes clearer and clearer. Hard work leads to good result. And as we harvest in proportion as we plant, we will plant enough bushels for a bushel. We will reap a bushel, right? I planted 3 cucumber plants because I wanted to make these refrigerated pickles. And I have reaped more than I thought. But I knew I would at least get maybe 20. I've had 30 or 40 now. But I thought I'm going to plant this many. Now, the principle of sowing and reaping is this, that we harvest as proportion as we planted. If I planted like 1 carrot, thinking I was going to get a bunch of carrots, that's not going to work. Right? If I sow sparingly, it's not going to work. If you plant a truckload, you'll reap a truckload. If you plant a bushel, you'll reap a bushel. I think there's a difference between, though this is important, caring for your garden and caring for someone else's garden, right? And you need to take care of your garden first, your spiritual life, your family. Principle at work, let's start with your family. A parent who is a giver and a hard worker at raising their children in the fear of the Lord, who loves them and loves his spouse and invests time financially in treasures for the family, more and more, they're going to reap a blessing. They're going to reap obedient children. They're going to reap a loving spouse. They're going to have great, I have a great son in love, okay? I love my son in love, Josh. He is fantastic. I don't look at that type of thing as like, why do you call him that? Because that's what he is to me. I love that man because he loves my daughter. And I feed into that man so that when they have children, I can hold them and use my special gifts that I have in holding children to help them. And when they go through mountains and valley experiences, you'll walk with them and they won't be afraid to call you on the phone. You'll know what it is to have a growing and gracious life given because of your faithfulness. What about at work? See, I think this principle works best at work. If you, 9.5 out of 10 people, if they plant good work ethic in work, they're going to be promoted. If you're just a good worker and you're going to be promoted, people are going to notice you. And the ones that don't put good work ethic are going to notice you too, but they're not going to like you. But you just keep pressing on because they're going to notice. What about in relationships? You push into this. Don't back away from it. What if you're selfish with your family, in your relationship with God, how you give and serve at church, at work? If you're the one who never gives and never serves and never spends themselves on others, but pleads and begs God to do certain things and it's just not happening, well, duh. You're harvesting in proportion as you planted. And you'll be jealous for the ones who are thriving in their life with God. But don't be. They're only reaping in proportion as they've been planting with the Lord. Again, let me just say this. You can't be growing in the Lord without being in His Word. Right? And you're looking at people who are growing with the Lord and you may be jealous of them. Don't be, because they've been spending the hard time getting on their knees and being in His Word. And they're reaping in proportion, and you will too. It's a law of Scripture. And you have to be careful too when you say something like this, because you don't want it to be about prosperity and prosperity gospel. You understand when I say that, right? Like, if you do this, God will make you rich. God's never promised that to the New Testament believer. You know the things He has promised? Are you ready? That you will pick up His cross and follow Him. That you will suffer, but you will set an example. And that you one day will be with Him forever. And that place is going to be amazing. But He does give us a principle in 2 Corinthians 9. I have this on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 9 does talk a little bit about the giver here at church. Not just monetarily, by the way. Giving of yourself. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You want to be part of something here at church, and you want to work at that, and you want to give yourself bountifully, do it with a cheerful heart. Don't come back the next week and go, oh, I got to do this. He goes on to say this, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You harvest in proportion as you plant. And let me close this point with this thought. The greatest thing, look up here, the greatest thing that God can give you is opportunity. And there's opportunity all around to give, to work, to worship, to walk, to sow into others' lives. Are you seizing the opportunity? You can be confident that you will harvest as proportionately as you've planted. So the choice is up to you. Now, here we go. Two to go. Going to go quickly here. We harvest the crop of good only if we persevere. Back to the text. Back in the text, it says this, and here's the key words. For the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. Here it is. For in due season we will reap if we do not what? Give up, faint. We have to persevere. Well, I've been planting a lot these days, and I feel like it's time that I should have a big old harvest, but it's not come yet, Nate. Nope. I've been planting for years, but no harvest. Yep. We harvest a crop of good if we persevere. Now, here's the deal, though. I mean, evil comes on its own. Can I just say that? Let me give you an illustration. All in favor of dandelions? I am not a dandelion person. When I lived in Baysville, I spent a lot of money getting rid of the dandelions in my yard. And I love my neighbor. He didn't. And every year I would go out there, and you know the evil that would bestow me in the spring months. Dandelions. Now, I guess some of you like them on salads, and some of you like them for tea. I don't like them in my yard. But maybe you see the benefits of them. Let me just say, they just come on their own. And I want to go up to the mother who's letting their kid pull the dandelion and go, and say, stop it. Let's go into my yard. Where do you live? In two states, but it's going to make it there. The truth is, though, evil comes on its own. Look up here, husbands, wives. You know the truth of that statement. You could come home from work and say hello, and they will bite your head off. And you just go, what did I do? Right? It finds its way in. And you're like, I've been planting. Persevere. We came back from vacation, and I had to do a lot of weeding in my garden. And sometimes you have to do that in your relationship. Maybe you let it go for a while in your dating relationship with somebody. Young people, persevere. Do what is right. Evil will come on its own. Temptation will be right there. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You ever heard the statement, Rome wasn't built in a day? Anybody? I mean, let's try it again. Let's just participate. We're almost done. Anybody ever heard the statement? Yes, okay. Gardens aren't built in a day either. Marriages aren't. Let's use the garden analogy, though, and I was thinking this through, and I thought, man, this is really good. I should write this down. So I did. If you buy a new home and you move into this new home, and you look out in your yard, this is what I would think, where can I put my garden? And so what I have to do is I get my tools out of the box, and as I bring them out, I got my shovel, I got my hoe, I got my spade, I got like buckets to move stuff, and then I have to start. And the ground is hard. And then you break open the top of the soil, and maybe there's grass and weeds there, and so you're moving those, and you're getting them out of the way, because that's bad for a garden. And then you begin the process of using your hoe and breaking up this hard, hard soil, and you get it into big chunks, and then you do it again, and a couple weeks later you come back and you got a rototiller. You've rented something, and you're sitting there shaking this thing, and it's hard work, and you're sweating. And then it becomes smooth. And then you go and you say, all right, what's the best thing? And you talk to a gardener, and he's like, well, you've got sun that comes this way, and you need these kind of plants, and that's not going to work in your yard. And so you begin to plant the things that are right. But does it stop there? No. Because then they start to come up, and then you go get the Miracle-Gro because you want it to be awesome. And so you spray the Miracle-Gro on it. And then weeds like Miracle-Gro too. And so then you got to pull the weeds. And you're like, when is this going to be enjoyable? And 3 months later, fruit comes on it. And you're like, oh, yes. And you go to pull the first one, and you pull it off, and there's a bite on the back of it. And then you realize you have deer. And so then you put up a fence, and you guard it. And occasionally you wake up in the middle of the night with a flashlight, and you start looking around in your yard. Listen. Do you spend that much energy on your relationships with God? The hard soil of your heart, have you broken it with His Word? Do you look at your family and go, this is difficult, but I'm going to work at it. I'm going to break this hard soil up. I'm going to feed it the nutrients it needs. I'm going to love my wife in a way. I'm going to go get some help. And they're going to tell me exactly how I should love my wife. Because obviously I'm doing something wrong. And she won't even talk to me. But I want her to. I want the best possible thing. And I'm going to plant into that. I'm going to watch it grow. And then when the thief comes to steal, I'm going to put up a fence. This is my planting. This is my reaping. Trust me, there's great joy when the farmer, the gardener, picks his own produce and in a sweet moment gives it to a friend and says, this is from my garden. And there's a sweet moment in your relationship with God when you've recognized the things that you've planted in your relationship with Him, and He's answering and He's blessing because you're seeking to plant into good soil. You're like, oh, thank you. I wrote these down. It's sweet moments. It's worth it in the end if you persevere. It's the father who gives his daughter away. Sweet moment, right? It's the family reunion that nobody wants to miss because there's so much love around each other and no drama. It's the promotion at work. It's well done, my good and faithful servant. You only reap if you persevere. Here it is. This is where we end. There's nothing you can do about last year's harvest. There's nothing you can do about it. You can only do something about this year's. There's nothing you can do about last year's harvest. Yesterday, All my troubles seem so far away. Maybe I should say it this way. There's only one thing you can do about last year's harvest. There is one thing. You can repent. Right? If you've been sowing negativity and discourse and you've not been getting right with the Lord, if you let your relationship dwindle in your walk with Jesus, you'd repent of that. Listen, husbands, if you've not been the man that you should be, you take your wife and you set her on the bed and you get on your knees and you repent of that. Wives, if you've been the wife of discourse, not allowing your husband to love you and lead you and learn you, not fanning him, not following him, not doing what God says in finishing him, sit him on the couch, hold his hand, and repent of that. Teenagers, you know who you are. If you've not been walking with the Lord and you've been rebellious with your parents, this may shock them. But sit down with them at the dinner table and tell them you're sorry. And start afresh. Start afresh. If you're looking at your relationship with Jesus Christ as you should, and you're thinking it's not the same, something's missing, get in the closet. Close your bedroom door, go for a drive, do something, and get alone with the Lord and repent of that. There's nothing to be gained at being far from God, believer. There's everything to be gained by planting a good relationship with Him. And there's nothing you can do about last year's harvest except for repent. From this day forward, start choosing to sow and reap the good. Amen? All right, that's where we're going to stop. That's sowing and reaping right there. It's a growing discipleship of Jesus Christ. It's being salt. It's being light. It's loving your neighbor. It's following your master. What can you do this year? As you have opportunity, the scripture says, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. Okay, so how many think by show of hands tomorrow or this week you will have opportunity to do good? Show of hands. Everyone should have, yeah, right? But here's the principle in this verse. You should do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. Think of Joseph. Think of Joseph, right? And his brothers came, and we need this, and he recognizes them, and he takes them to his house, and then he does good to all his brothers. But does anybody remember what he did to Benjamin? It's like, especially his family, he like double portion. Right? So it's kind of the idea. He did good to those that tried to kill him, and to his brother, he's like, man, here's double for you. So it's kind of the idea here in this, what can I do, what can I do? I'm going to have opportunity. I'm going to sow good. Sow in both relationships and reap a truckload of blessing. You have your work cut out for you. You're loved. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for passages of scripture like this here in Galatians where it's pretty clear. We think through Paul and how the Holy Spirit has used him to write applicationally to us about doing good to everyone, about reaping and sowing and the whole farmer thing. And so, Lord, we pray that you allow us to do that. That as we have opportunity this week, we will plant seeds in our relationships with our family. We will plant seeds in our relationships with our children, with our spouse, with our in-laws, with our parents. We will love them only as you could love them. We will plant forgiveness. We will plant mercy and grace. Father, I just pray that you would motivate our church to be a church of love. And to love those who are less fortunate than us. But to especially draw close and love those that are here. To find out how they're hurting, to bless them on days that are especially special to them. To mourn with them as they go through difficult situations and to laugh with them in moments of great joy. And as a church, Lord, may we be planting into our relationship with you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for our lackadaisical attitude that we have had as a church for small group. We have not planted into our relationships like we should have. And we ask for your forgiveness. You have called us to these one another's, and we have been absent. So God, I ask that you would convict us and draw us. Lord, I pray for the marriages here that are struggling, yet they're hiding it. They're holding this heavy backpack of relational strife. God, I pray that would be removed today. That they would repent to each other. And they would draw close to each other. I pray for the teenagers and the young people who are in rebellion. Who just can't get along with mom and dad. I pray that you would convict them. And I pray that they would see the need for you. Draw us, Father, in this principle. Knit us together neatly. Because we love you and we want to do your word. We want to be more like your son. We need you. We need you. We need you. We can't do this. We need you. And so we come. And we confess. Lord, you know my heart is that people would be not ashamed to come and kneel and confess. And so I pray that you would work in our midst today. Break the stubborn heart. And that they would come and be prayed over and prayed with and approach your throne. And you would begin to plant the seeds of good in their life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I chose this song. Just been in my mind as I've been thinking through this. Lord, I come, I confess that I need you. And that's what we need in this moment of sowing and reaping. Lord, I need you. I need you. Every hour, I need you. And maybe right now, that's what you need. As we stand, maybe you want to come to the front. I'll have somebody pray with you. Maybe you just want to pray by yourself. That's fine. But let's not be a church that's afraid of that opportunity to have someone draw near and to encourage us in that moment. Okay? So let's stand and let's sing, and those that need to have some time of prayer, come.